Mike Cosman is joining us today. Mike is from NZISM, which is a leading professional association for occupational health and safety, and he is their law reform spokesperson. He's one of our country's foremost workplace health and safety experts, has more than 46 years of experience across regulation, policy management and consultancy, having served on the government's 2013 independent task force on workplace health and safety. Mike, thank you for joining us here on Wātea. Ko Dale Tene, thanks so much for your time today. Mike, a warm welcome. Kia ora.
Morena, Dale. Nice to talk to you.
Thank you. Well, firstly, there are proposed law changes, and what are the most serious risks you believe the changes will create for workers, particularly in small business? And you might set us up by telling us what these changes are, please, Mike.
Sure. So as part of the coalition agreement that led to the current government, the ACT Party asked for a review of the health and safety system in New Zealand. And that review took place in late 2024. And I think it's fair to say that it was predicated on a mindset of over-regulation, that health and safety was a burden on business, and therefore it was perhaps no surprise that the result of that review was to reduce compliance burdens on business. The main thing that's come out from the bill, and which we believe the Select Committee will be reporting back today with very little change, is that small firms, which they describe as those with less than 20 workers, will only now have a legal obligation to manage what are called critical risks. So critical risks are clearly very important because they're the things that mean that we don't go home at the end of the day, or, you know, we've suffered a life-threatening injury. And nobody would be in any doubt that those are important. But the reality is that the bulk of harm that occurs to workers up and down the country is the non-life-threatening, but nevertheless very serious. That's everything from back injuries, it's psychosocial harm, it's damage to extremities. So the things that actually, you know, cause a lot of people to spend a lot of time off work, but at the level below the life-altering. And if that wasn't bad enough, within an attempt to try and, you know, reduce burdens, the definition is so vague that even health and safety experts like our members can't even work out what it means. So something that could come into law in the next week or so is badly written. We believe it's unethical that two sitting side by side, one working for a small firm, one working for a large, will have different levels of protection. We know that some of our highest risk industries involve a lot of contractors, construction, forestry, agriculture. We know they already manage health and safety less well than larger firms because they don't have the resources and support to do so. And we also know that vulnerable workers, whether they be Māori, Pacifica, new migrants, young workers, often work in small firms. So whichever way you look at it, you know, this is a bad move and one that we're opposed to.
Well, we know that workplace safety is absolutely paramount. You mentioned forestry. Sadly, over the years, we've seen many of our guys killed, maimed in forestry accidents, as an example. So do you believe, having spent 4.5 decades in this space, Mike, that we are indeed over-regulated? What do you make of this stance?
Look, there is no doubt that some people do or things in the name of health and safety. And, you know, they will use it as an excuse for not actually engaging the brain and actually working out how to do something in a safe way. I mean, a good example, we've seen over the last couple of years the demonization of traffic cones. So you talk to a road worker who's standing next to notionally 50 kilometer an hour traffic that's actually more likely to be traveling at 80, with stones flicked up, with people throwing rubbish at them, shouting abuse, and tell me that actually managing, you know, traffic is not really, really important. But somehow we've created this notion that because occasionally there'll be, you know, work sites where nobody's there and the cones are there and people are being delayed, is over-regulation. So we are certainly not opposed to improving clarity. In fact, that was one of the things that the minister said she was going to try and do, which we think she has failed to do. And without, you know, going into too much detail, but in terms of regulations, the things that actually tell you in specific circumstances what it is you need to do to keep safe, we have got something like a tenth of the regulations of Australia. So none of our four highest risk industries, agriculture, construction, manufacturing, or forestry, have got industry-specific regulations. We've got a code for forestry, which was updated recently. It took the best part of 14 years to update it. I was part of the Independent Forestry Safety Review, which, if you remember, the late Helen Kelly was influential in highlighting, you know, what was happening, particularly to Maori workers in rural parts of New Zealand. I have to say there has been significant progress in that industry, but it's come because of real concerted pressure to try and shift the industry from largely manual to mechanized, which has given productivity gains as well as improved safety. And so I think the answer to is actually a block on the economy. Some new figures out from ACC tell us that the time away from work across the economy cost $8.7 billion in lost productivity. 4.7 million days of weekly compensation paid out. You know, that is the loss of productivity, is people injured and not being at work.
Well, tēnā koe. Are you familiar with any cultural data, i.e. a lot of our people work in the construction sector, in forestry, in manufacturing. Do Māori and Pacifica injury rates in the workplace eclipse others?
Yes. Yes, there's no doubt about that. Unfortunately, the data hasn't been kept up to date, but certainly from the last time it was published, you know, there were significant increases in injury rates amongst a range of different groups, of which Māori was definitely one. And so that's why WorkSafe, for example, had their Marawiti, which was specifically targeted at areas of high risk for Māori workers. I've been involved working with them in trying to do governance training for iwi Māori businesses, so that, you know, as the Māori economy grows, Māori business can actually set a high standard. Because at the end of the day, you know, if you think about tikanga and health and safety, they are one and the same thing. You know, manaakitanga is health and safety. You know, so I think from a cultural point of view, where Māori are in control of workplaces where Māori work, the opportunities to actually demonstrate leadership are really, really clear. Unfortunately, we've got small undercapitalized businesses, and when Māori don't have a voice, then I think things are less good.
Well, they want to charge forward and build the economy. I can understand that, but it does feel that we're on the cusp of once again more workers' rights being compromised by this change in legislation.
Absolutely. I mean, no other country in the world has actually removed essential protections from so many workers. You know, 97% of businesses in New Zealand are under 20 workers. So that means about 25% of the total workforce will be denied protection from these most common risks. And if I just give you one example, Dale, you know, at the moment, there's a requirement on businesses to provide their workers with personal protective equipment. Now, if this bill comes through, which it could do in the next week, then that would only apply to things that prevent life-changing harm. So you'd no longer be provided with boots or gloves, because, you know, foot injuries and hand injuries are not life-threatening. So, you know, even something as simple, which we've had for years, that it's illegal to charge workers to provide their own personal protective equipment, that could be taken away if this bill goes into law.
Tēnā koe. Mike Cosman with us. Mike, why do you think the Select Committee has failed then to respond to the overwhelming opposition from health and safety experts like yourself and industry groups, and seem to be sort of charging on regardless?
Look, I mean, as an organisation, we're apolitical. So we're focused on the issue, not on the politics. But you have to look at the politics. And because the coalition agreement there is a majority on the select committee, which is national and ACT. It's perhaps not surprising that the select committee report reflects the view of the minister and hence is carrying on despite the opposition, which is why really our campaign that we've launched with Sonia and Anna from Stand With Pike is really aimed at looking at Parliament and actually asking them to really reflect on this bill, you know, from a fundamental ethical point of view, look beyond, you know, coalition agreements and actually say, is this the right thing for us to be doing at this point in our history? Having had Pike, having had the Forestry Safety Review, knowing that our performance continues to lag behind countries like Australia and the UK, do we really want to take this step or can we actually pause, reflect, and actually have another look?
You know, I'm pleased to speak with you today because most of our people, to be honest, mate, wouldn't even realise that this legislation is going through. But we know just how important it is. It's Men's Health Week. When we look at the gender stats for injuries in the workplace, how prevalent are men as against women being injured at work?
Yeah, I mean, certainly in terms of fatalities, it's probably about 80% men. I mean, you talk about men's health, and of course, again, something that this country has been slow to really acknowledge is that mental health is a workplace health and safety issue. You know, WorkSafe research showed that something like 17% of all suicides have got a significant work-related component. And yet at a time when Australia is really ramping up its engagement in mental health from a work-related perspective, here we're backing off, and this bill would almost certainly take consideration of mental harm, psychosocial harm, whatever you want to call it, away from those workers in small businesses.
Is there a compromise? So you've got this ACT prompted change, the coalition agreement, which I've criticised before, almost superseding everything else, including the treaty, and even the treaty could come into play here if we've got significant numbers of Māori being injured at work or even killed. That could come into play. At the moment, forging ahead, nevertheless, dark days, really. And what rearguard action does industry and advocates for workers' rights have to challenge the direction of this legislation?
Well, clearly, you know, that's the purpose of the campaign, is to really, you know, raise the profile for people who haven't actually looked at the detail, haven't really understood what's being proposed, and have just sort of read the headline, which says this will reduce complexity, reduce compliance cost, and improve health and safety. That's what the minister announced was the objectives of the bill. And all of those submitters, as you've indicated, from all sides, from business, from health and safety professionals, from workers, there's an organization called Trimmer, which is the Maori Health and Safety Association. You know, all of them have said this bill is fundamentally flawed. It won't achieve its objectives. We've written a joint letter to the minister saying, can we sit down and talk to you about what an alternative approach would look like? But the response from her, which we published on our website, says, thanks, but no thanks. This is the way I think we should go. And so she's playing on regardless. So realistically, the only opportunity we've got is for other voices in Parliament to actually come together and question the purpose of this bill and hopefully put a stop on it.
Thanks very much. Most of us wouldn't have been aware just how close the change is in legislation, and really appreciate you spending some time to explain why it's a backward step when we're looking at the safety and well-being of those in our industries, and definitely affecting Māori workers going forward. A privilege to have recorded it all with you. Thanks so much for your time today, Mike.
Thanks, Dale. Really appreciate it.
Tēnā koe. That's Mike Cosman with us today.